good and faithful they are to this house. What a blessing they are. So let's show them some love one more time. Every week coming out and pouring their hearts out for us. Well, welcome. How y'all doing this morning? We're almost in the afternoon. When we get to the afternoon, I'll ask you how your afternoon is going. We got 6-7 minutes. So I'm so excited that Pastor Rob and Pastor Gail have entrusted me to steward their house, God's house. They're responsible for it. But now, today, March 15th, they have passed the torch. So I just want to honor them and thank them for that opportunity. And I do love you guys. You guys are awesome for coming out. Like I said, it's like a winter storm out there, not too many people in the house. You know, when the snow hits the ground, people get afraid to drive and come out of their house. So thank you guys for coming out. All right. So, Pastor Rob will be back. If I bore you today, don't worry. He'll be back. I'll be back the following week. So, no, just kidding. He'll be back next week. So we look forward to that because this is stressful stuff. Okay? I cannot do this every week. I do not want to do this every week. It is so stressful. I don't know how he does it. I'm sweating already. Had to take my jacket off. You know, my heart is pounding. My watch says I'm doing a workout right now. So we are going to do this thing. All right. Come on, make some noise. We love it. So my wife put me onto this diet in the month of March. So I'm a little parched. I do see results. I have not eaten bread or sugar for the month of March, and I am literally falling to pieces. I love a bagel toasted with butter, and then a second bagel toasted with cream cheese. But I do see results. I do have a little bit more humor in my system this morning. So I just want to make you guys laugh, make you guys have a good time. I did lose 8 pounds in these 2 weeks. So as you can see, get the camera angle. It is starting to slim down. All right. Ooh, somebody text me. Okay. Wasn't Pastor Rob, so that's a good thing. All right. Today's message, the heart of a servant. 1 Samuel 12:24, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Father, we thank you that we serve you faithfully with all our heart, Lord God. Use me today to bring the word, to fill your people with hope and joy and laughter, Lord God. We thank you for today. We thank you for all those represented in this building and in this house and watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. See, the word serve is mentioned in the Bible over 200 times, meaning that it's probably an important topic. You see, we live in a selfie generation. How many of you have a selfie stick? I guess it's only my wife. Nobody else has a selfie stick? Okay. I have one. We have two. One for her, one for me, because we, I guess, don't like pictures together, so we each have our own stick with our selfies. So we live in a selfie generation. Everything is about self. Everything is taught to us to take care of yourself, be by yourself, do for yourself, and not for others. And that's the beauty about being a Christian. We're meant to do for others and not for self. So I'm so happy to be here today. I'm so happy to share with you something that's near and dear to my heart, serving. I can do it all day, every day, 24/7. I love you guys. I try to smile when I can because my mom paid a lot of money for the smile when I was younger with some braces. So I need to show off her good investment. All right. So a selfie generation has been taking a grip on our youth, have been taking a grip on our teens, our college students, and even adults nowadays, where they don't consider the lives of somebody else. That's how road rage happens. That's how the finger gets flipped in the car. That's how anger happens. We don't consider the thoughts and the emotions of somebody else before reacting. So when I first became a Christian, I started faithfully attending the church. And I used to live in New Jersey at the time. And so I would drive from New Jersey every single Sunday, an hour and 45 minutes to come to church. And the funny thing is, I would get here before the people who live 5 minutes away. Now, can you imagine? Somebody lives 5 minutes away, and I got here before them. And then I went to college. I was out in college in Long Island. I don't know why I went to college in Long Island, but it was my brother's brilliant idea because he went to the same school, so I decided to go with him. And so at that time, I was then driving from Long Island every Sunday to come to church. Then I decided a brilliant idea to join the youth ministry. So then I would drive on Friday nights and then on Sunday nights. And then I had an even brilliant more idea to then join a life group. So now I would drive from Long Island on Wednesdays, on Fridays, and then on Sundays. And that was a lot of gas, that was a lot of time, that was a lot of tolls. But you see, when I made a decision to become a Christian, I made it and thought about it. Because I knew that when I made that decision, I wanted every part of the gospel. And serving is a part of that gospel. And so I wanted to make sure that I was here, that I was giving back to what God had given me. And so finally, I decided to get married and move closer to save on gas and tolls, not just because I met the love of my life, but the gas and tolls was a big part of it. Isn't she beautiful? For those of you on Facebook who have never seen my wife, it's worth it. I was always willing to serve. I always chose people before me. I always put myself last in almost every situation. And I actually had a situation this past week where I kind of screwed up. So I had made plans with my wife. I think we were going to buy chicken because everybody's buying chicken. And so we were going to the grocery store to buy chicken. I told her I'd meet her at the house. And somebody called and said they needed to come to the church and get something from the church. So for me, I was like, yeah, of course. I'll open up the church for you. We were in two separate cars. So I called her and said, you know, I have to go to the church. Somebody needs the door open, but I'll meet you at the house. Boy, was that a bad decision. God really had to smack me around, really had to show me what I did wrong. I thought I was serving God by serving the needs of this person, and I forgot that I already committed to serve the needs of my wife. So I'm teaching out of lessons learned even as far as last week. So I'm doing this with you, okay? So now for some of you, being around and doing everything for people and putting yourself last, some of you may say that this is a good thing, to always be there for others, to always serve others. And you see, there's a huge difference between serving and serving with the right heart. Okay? You know, I'm always good at serving. I'm always good at whatever I do. I have this strange ability to look at something once or watch somebody do something once and then learn it really, really quickly. And so with the lighting system, with sound, with the cappuccino machine, with anything, I've learned it once by watching, and then I've self-taught my way for the rest. And so I was doing God's will in serving, but it was with my own strength, and it started to become evident. The critical spirit came out of me and not this beautiful smile. The attitude was on the surface and not the gratitude. And I had to learn what God's heart was when it came to serving, when it came time to helping others, to make sure I was a blessing and not a burden. So true story, when we used to do productions here at the church, Pastor Gail was sitting in the loading in the sound booth, and I was in charge of the lighting, and I would give her the worst nightmare ever because I didn't want to cooperate. I didn't want to be a team player. I didn't want to help her put her dream and her vision together because I started to become critical of everybody who was not showing up on time. Okay? Rehearsal started at 6 or 7, whatever it was, and I was here on time, and people wouldn't show up till 7:30, 7:45, 8 o'clock, 8:30, and I'm thinking in my head, like, we have jobs, we have families, we have other places that we need to be, but apparently I'm the only one who cares about being on time. So I became critical, I became angry, and it would show, and I would make her life miserable, and every... It was probably about the first or second week of every December, I had my annual meeting with Pastor Rob, and he would sit me down and say, you have to be moldable. You can't let your emotions live on your sleeve. You have to change your facial expressions. You have to be a team player. And I would say, well, why can't other people just be on time? Why is it that I have to change? And so it was this back and forth battle. It was probably a good 5 or 6 years of this annual meeting that I knew it was about. Every time he would pull me into the last classroom, and finally he said, it's either you're going to do it with the right heart or you're not going to do it at all. And so in this world of convenience that we live in, being inconvenienced to serve others is an epidemic. And a lot of people don't want to take time out of their schedule, out of their family, out of their kids' lives, out of their schedule to make time for others. And I'm not just talking about church, okay, even though that's a huge role. I'm talking about in your job, in your family. We don't take the time necessary to serve the needs of others. And so it could be a simple gesture as you picking up something off the floor. It could be a simple gesture as you bringing your boss a cup of coffee or bringing them tea if they don't drink coffee or bringing them water or doing something out of the ordinary to represent who God is in your life. And when we allow God to be the center of what we're doing, you take yourself out of the driver's seat and you allow him the reins of that particular situation. So you're no longer doing it under your own strength. Because when you do things under your own strength, we know that's a situation and that's a formula for disaster. I can attest to that. I've been in a lot of disasters because I was trying to do my own thing at my own pace, at my own time, until I realized I had to allow God to be at the center and not me at the center. So we must learn to get out of the way of our own blessing and breakthrough. As God does what he does best, he begins to show you the correct process of how things should work in your life. And so, for me, it was learning that we must serve God first. Everybody say, God first. Those of you at home, say, God first. You guys are here, at home. So we must serve God first, then ourselves, and then others. There's a process that we need to take. And so back to our opening verse, be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. So it starts with having the right heart. The right heart comes from serving him and knowing him, and we can't serve others without first serving God. So John 12:26 says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So you're saying, if I serve God, God's going to honor me. I mean, that's a good give and take, right? If we serve God, he's going to honor us. So I'll take that give and take all day long. So how do we serve God? We must follow him. And Pastor Rob is such a good preacher. And he's been teaching us about lordship and putting first things first. So that's basically what serving God is making him Lord over your life, Lord over your possessions, Lord over your children, Lord over your job, Lord over your spouse, Lord over your house. He's making God in control of everything that you touch. And you serve him by honoring him, by being obedient to his word. Psalm 2:11 says, "Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling." So we have our time. We all have time that we can use to serve God. And serving God is not just a Sunday ministry. Do you guys understand that? Serving God is 24/7. Whether you're a baker, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a cook, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a scientist, whatever your vocation is, you serve God 24/7. Because you are the light of the world, as the Bible says, the salt of the earth. So that means that light should never go out regardless of where you are. We honor him and serve him with the way we live our lives and how we represent him. You know, somebody said to me years ago, be the Bible that somebody never reads. Most people will never pick up the Bible. But if they can see the Bible lived out through your life, your actions and your demeanor and your words will bring them to Christ. Because most people do not understand Scripture. Most people, it flies over their head. Most people don't even want to hear it. But as you honor God and serve God, you're a reflection of who he is in your life. You're the reflection of the Bible. Okay? And that's how it is for me on my job. So in construction, there's a ton of cursing, a ton of it. That's just the language. And so I don't curse. I don't like to curse. I used to have a really bad trucker's mouth. And every other word was a curse word until God said, you're not honoring me with your voice. You're not honoring me with your words. And so I decided to make a change years ago. And so on the job site, I wasn't cursing. I wasn't raising my voice. I wasn't being disrespectful to people. I was honoring God by my actions. And so over time, people began to wonder what was going on. What was so different about this dude who has this amazing smile on a construction site? And so over time, they approached me and said, why don't you curse? And I told them, it's not in my vocabulary. I don't want to do it. I don't think it's pleasing. I think it's disrespectful. I think there's other words that can be used to describe a situation that you're upset with. And so over time, they began to curse less around me. And they began to respect my decisions and my atmosphere. And eventually, they stopped cursing in front of me. And eventually, they begin to ask questions as to why I made that decision. So then that opens the door for me to share what Christ has done in my life and share the scripture with them and be able to talk to them about what a difference having God in your life can be and the difference without him. So it's how you represent him. And it's also how you represent, how you serve him is with your finances, with tithing, with offering. You know, we're teaching this Dave Ramsey financial peace class here at the church. And it's amazing the principle of honoring him first and realizing you still have money to pay your bills after. It's not about the extra movie ticket. It's not about going out to eat. It's you have the finances to live your life and honor him with your finances at the same time. You have the capability. It's where your priority is. If you look at your bank statement, it should not be a food journal, okay? It should be a place of honoring God first, and then everything else falls in line. So Matthew 25:21 says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. So the key word there for me is faithful. Faithful means strict or thorough in the performance of duty, true to one's word, promises, or vows, steady in allegiance or affection, loyal, constant, reliable, trusted, believed, adhering or true to fact, a standard or an original and accurate. Christians should be the most faithful out of any other people in the world. Right? We should be the most faithful on our job. We should be the most faithful in our marriages, with our kids, in our ministry, in our families. But unfortunately, nobody can tell the difference. And that's where this world has come. And so when you're faithful, it brings out the character of God, right? Because you are faithful because he is faithful. He is trustworthy. You are trustworthy. So I was very fortunate to grow up with a mom who taught me those values that if you're 5 minutes early, you're on time. And this was the biggest fight when I got married. Because I always wanted to be on time. Now in Spanish culture, okay, being on time is 2 hours late. Y'all laughing because you know it's true. But that's just the culture, right? But for me, it was a sign of respect. If somebody asked me to be somewhere at a certain time, it was the respectful thing to honor what they asked, not to make up my own schedule. And so when we got married, women get dressed at a different pace than men. And so, I'm going to tread carefully. And so, it was an argument. Why do we have to be there on time? Everybody else is going to be late, so why can't we just be on the same time as everybody else? And I told my wife, you're missing the principle. The principle is respect. For me, it's about respect. I don't care if I'm sitting there by myself in an awkward situation and the food's not even ready because the host knows that everybody's late anyways, but I want to show a respectful act to them by being on time, by being trustworthy, by being an image of who God is in my life. So let's try to work on that. Not everybody's happy. Okay. Next. All right. So why is it that when we come to church or we put God in the situation, all of a sudden faithful goes out the window? But when it comes to your job and getting paid, you're on time. You don't miss a day. You don't call out. There's no sick days when you get a paycheck. Right? You're on time when you go get paid. You're faithful to your job. You're trustworthy to your job. But when it comes to things that God is calling you to do, all of a sudden, there's a grace card that you throw in front of faithful, and you come and go when you please. You figure, oh, it's not as important as my job. So I'm not getting paid, so I'm not going to do it. And that is the wrong attitude to have, because your paycheck and your reward is in heaven. Your paycheck and your reward is what Jesus did for us on the cross. He died to serve and not to be served, right? So we should honor him by doing the same and serve him by doing the same. So we have nothing compared to what he did for us compared to what we can do for his people. And so we have to understand that being faithful is a characteristic of God, and we want to honor God with that characteristic. So back to our opening verse. 1 Samuel 12:24. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. And John 12:26 says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. There must be joy in how we serve God. I know it's hard to go to work sometimes. I know it's hard to walk into your house sometimes. But you need to have an attitude of joy. You need to have an attitude of gladness. And it's not easy. I'm not saying that it's going to happen all the time, every time. You know, my wife knows when I walk through the house whether it was a good day or a bad day, because I wear my emotions on my face. And so women wear their emotions with their makeup. You can't tell whether they're upset, happy, or sad, because the eyeliner and the shadow and the blush always looks beautiful. So it's a little deceiving. But for me, I don't wear makeup. So you can always tell if I'm upset. You can always tell if I'm angry. You can always tell if I'm happy. And so my wife knows whether I'm telling the truth or not. She can tell everything about the conversation and how it's going to go based on my face. And so I say that because we need to work on joy and smiling and being polite and being thankful and having an attitude of gratitude. Now I'm up to swimming on my workout. Okay, the next is serve yourself. Your soul and your well-being is a vital aspect to how we are going to serve others. You need to take time for yourself to get right with God. Now, don't use this as an excuse and say to Pastor Rob and Pastor Gail, well, Jason told me that it's okay that I stop serving because I've been getting myself right. Okay? Let's just make that clear. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that your heart condition is more important than your serving condition. Okay? Your heart has to be right. Your heart has to be in the right position, with the right motivations, with the right clarity. Because if you're not, then you're serving out of your own strength and you begin to become critical and angry, and that's how I was. Okay? So you need to ask yourself, am I serving for myself or am I serving for God? And if you're not serving, why am I not serving? And so for me, I've been in this church going on at least 15, 16 years. And since I first started coming to the church, I've been serving every Sunday until I couldn't serve where I wasn't physically here. But over the time, my motivation started to change. My heart started to change. I was becoming critical. I was pointing out people's flaws instead of looking in the mirror. I began to be so angry with people because of their lack of professionalism that I was becoming unprofessional. And so I had to take a hiatus. I had to understand that for me, my heart was more important than the gift I was to the body. Because the gift is no good if the heart is no good. Okay? So I would be forced to come to church. I spoke with Pastor Rob and I said, I don't know how to come to church and not do something. I don't know how to come to church and just sit and receive. That's a foreign subject to me. I don't know how to just be a son. I don't know how to just be a member and not have a title and not be on leadership and not be in charge of this thing and that thing. And I didn't know how, so it was a scary thing. It was something that I didn't want to do. It was something that I hated doing. It was something that was dreadful in the moment. And it took at least 8 months of a process coming to church and understanding that I'm a son first. Before I'm a servant. I have to understand that I'm a son. You have to understand that you're a son and a daughter first, because that's what's important in this life, is that you need to be whole in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. So I was beginning to use serving to cover up insecurities. I covered them up with people's words of affection, with people's words of kindness, my insecurities of being wanted and being taken care of, and the father wound was all tied into serving was a cover-up. Serving was a bandage. Serving was a way to get the attention off me and onto other people, so I didn't have to look in the mirror, so God wouldn't shine his light in those areas. And they became wounds that went deeper and deeper and deeper every Sunday until I exploded. And it was so miserable. It was so miserable for me to go through that process, but out of that process came so many blessings. Out of that process came so many breakthroughs. And so if you are in that position, don't get discouraged. Really pull on God, really focus on God, really focus on your inner healing, because there are blessings on the other side of the triumph. There are blessings on the other side of the struggle, on the other side of the tribulation. There are blessings coming your way as long as you are willing to align your heart with what God is saying. And so the next and final is we serve others. And so if you're married, you serve your spouse. And that is another marriage counseling topic, okay, because that is a struggle at times. My wife asked me last night, can you get me a cup of water? And I said, why can't you get it? I mean, that's what every husband would say, right? You have two good hands and two good feet, just like I do. But that was the wrong response, okay? I need to have a different attitude when it comes to getting things for my wife. And so that's just one example. There's many other marriage counseling examples that we can attest to when it comes to serving each other. It's like a Comedy Central in our house, because we joke with each other a little too much and we make fun of each other and we do things that most couples don't do, but we do cross boundaries. And we do go places where we shouldn't have when it comes to honoring and serving each other. So understand that it's a process. It's not easy. And I know there's couples in here who have been married way longer than I do. And if you're still arguing about the cup of water, I know I don't have hope. All right. So the next, as we serve others, is we serve in our job. How many of you have a job? Hopefully everybody. So we serve our bosses, we serve our coworkers. We are the light that they may not have in that current situation. So we have to be able and willing to be used on our office, in our job site, in whatever we do, wherever we go to work, at the gas station pumping gas. We have to be willing to be used. We have to be willing to serve the needs of somebody else. And finally, we serve in ministry. So 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. 1 Corinthians 9:19, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. So serving is voluntary. You're not forced to. You don't have to. It's an act that you choose to do. And so there's some benefits of serving that I want to run through. And so serving allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. It allows us to develop our spiritual gifts. So as you serve, you begin to know what your likes and dislikes are, whether you're good with children or not, whether you're a people person or not, whether you have struggles in certain areas. So serving helps you define your, or help you discover your niche, right? Niche? Your niche in what you can do to be a part of the body. And Pastor Rob talked about it last week in 1 Corinthians 12, where the church is related to the body, and everybody has a part. Somebody's a fingernail, somebody's a toe, somebody's the pinky toe, somebody's the big toe, somebody's the heart, somebody's the mind, right? Everybody has an equal part to play. And so without one, it cannot function without the other. And so we begin to develop and learn those gifts. And it also allows us to experience miracles. For those of you who have been to an encounter or have taught on an encounter or witnessed an encounter, you know how impactful that is when you serve those people. It's so impactful to see a grown, prideful, angry guy crying on his knees at the end of the encounter. Because only God can do that. That is a miracle in itself, to be able to break down those walls, to be able to impact those people. And even on a Sunday service, when we have altar calls, when we do ministry in the altar, Easter Sunday, Christmas, when you are a part of that miracle when you serve. You invested in that person by serving that Sunday. Okay? Serving also allows us to experience the joy and peace that comes from obedience. And so we must change our mindset when it comes to serving. Serving is worship. Serving is worship to God. And a lot of times we look at it as a task. We look at it as inconvenience to come on a Sunday and be here for 2 hours or 4 hours or be with the kids with their snot and boogers and asking for Cheerios and Goldfish, and they can't decide which snack they want, so you have 5 cups in front of them, and they're still wanting the stuff that you don't have, right? So we have to change our mindset that it's worship to God when we serve. And serving helps us to be more like Jesus. And we, like I said, we have this selfie generation, and we begin to look more like God when we put others first and not ourselves. And it surrounds us with other Christians who can help us follow Jesus. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So we get encouraged when we see other people serve along with us. They're making the same sacrifices we're making. They're making the same commitments that we're making. They understand the struggle that it may be. So we can encourage one another to continue going. And serving increases our faith. Now, my mom always says, "I don't understand how you get in front of people and talk." And I continuously say, I just increasing faith every single time, because it is a struggle. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I have the confidence of Pastor Rob to be up here. I don't, because this is terrifying. I'm so glad we got these new lights so I don't have to look at most of you. Because then it would be worse. But serving increases your faith. It helps you get out of your comfort zone when you usher, when you greet, when you work with children. It stretches you, it molds you, it makes you a different person. So challenge yourself with serving, and it's going to increase your faith. So serving allows us to experience God's power in new ways. Serving is good for our soul. Serving actually has a scientific benefit to it. It helps relieve stress. It helps relieve depression. Depression is all about self, right? You're stuck in your home. You're depressed. You're only thinking about yourself. But when you serve, you take your mind off of yourself and begin to focus on other people. So it scientifically helps with depression. But the problem is that we all make some sort of excuse when it comes to serving. I don't have time. I don't know what I would do. I don't have any special skills to contribute. They don't need me. That's the worst excuse that everybody uses. I've been serving for too long. I'm too good to do that. And serving is beneath me. Nobody is too high to serve. Okay? When I was in the kitchen, I always said if I ever opened up my own restaurant, regardless of what position you would get hired in, you would be the dishwasher for 2 weeks. Because if the head chef doesn't appreciate the hard task it is to wash dishes, he should not be the head chef. Right? If you don't understand the cost of scrubbing toilets, don't do it. Don't be up here in a high position trying to understand and trying to preach a good word. Pastor Rob told me stories from the hotel of scraping people's gum off the carpet. Dave was there. He was doing it. I wasn't there, thank God, because that's nasty. But I did clean toilets here. I have cleaned the toilets, and that is a sight to behold. I won't make a joke. We'll just move on. But you have to understand that if Jesus had this mentality, we would all be in hell. Right? We would not be here worshiping together. He would never came down from heaven. He would never sacrifice himself on the cross. We would have no hope. We would be in despair. He came to serve. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, this is beneath me. I'm a God. He never said any of that. But we as humans, obviously in our human nature, we come up with excuses. But at the same time, we need to understand that we need to be more like Jesus every single day. And by giving up our time, by giving up our resources, by giving up and making sacrifices, we get closer to honoring and being more like him. So Pastor Rob said to me years ago, your success in your vocation or job is a direct result of how you handle your responsibilities at church. Because it's God first, and then everything else. So if you handle the things of God correctly, then all these other things will be added unto you. So a few years back, I actually applied the principle. Go figure. I actually applied what he was saying. And so I changed my mentality when it came to serving. I changed my mentality when it came to helping people and being a part of their lives and all those good things. And within weeks, there was a direct result within my job. I received more money. I received promotion. I received new opportunities, new business opportunities. And it was a direct result of what I was doing here at church. So Acts 6 says, they chose seven to help with the burden of ministry. And so MBCC cannot function on Pastor Rob and Pastor Gail alone. Could you imagine he's preaching and had to go serve a kid and then come back up run here, continue on his word, and they'll go to the Welcome Center and ask somebody if they need help or usher and pass out envelopes and do it all by himself? That is impossible. He would never do and be as effective as he is now if he had to do it all by himself. And so we need the congregation to step up. We need the congregation to understand that the burden cannot be 100% on his shoulders and her shoulders, because they have a higher calling to pour into us. So if we can lift up their hands and lift up their burdens and take some responsibility off their hands, the power that God is going to move in the house is going to be outrageous. It's going to be something that we've never seen. But imagine if a CEO in a company said, I have to be the receptionist today. I can't run this company because the receptionist didn't want to take her responsibility seriously. Eventually, the CEO is going to get burnt out, things are going to go haywire, and everything's going to go in the direction that it's not supposed to be. And so we should declare this over this house, Joshua 24. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve in this house. We will be a blessing to others. We will honor God with our time and with our finances and with everything that we can. We will serve. In our homes, we will serve. We will be an example. We will be a light in our job sites. And so many years ago, I was the receptionist at the church. Now that's a miracle. If you ever see a miracle, me, a receptionist, answering the phones. I had a receptionist voice. If you want to hear it, I can do it for you. Welcome to New Beginnings. How can I help you this morning? And I would try my best to do it in my own power, but the moral of the story is there was two people working here at the time, and they said to me, oh, you're the fresh meat. So now you're going to take care of everything that we've been doing for years. You're going to set up the tables. You're going to set up for school leaders, the tables, the chairs. You're going to bring all the round tables up the flight of stairs by yourself, rolling them. And if you get hurt, oh, well, because we've gotten hurt. So good luck. And so they said to me, we don't deserve to do this anymore. We don't need to. This is beneath us now that you're here. And so they forgot what it meant to serve. They forgot what it meant to be honoring with every little opportunity that you have to bless the lives of somebody else. Imagine if the cleaner didn't put toilet paper in the bathroom. You all would be like freaking out, right? If she missed one little aspect of her job, but she does it with such a willing and grateful heart. She sanitized every seat yesterday for you guys. She didn't get paid extra. She wanted to protect you guys. And that's the right heart. That's the right motivation. That's putting God first in everything that you do. So my wife said to me yesterday, I'm going to give her all the credit. There is no retirement in the kingdom. You're never good enough to retire from serving. You always will be serving to the day you die. Jesus did it, so we're going to do it. And we're going to be examples, and we're going to be the light that he called us to be. So no retirement, only promotion. And so Matthew 20, as we close, I'm getting you out early. Matthew 20, it's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve and not to be served. So as we serve, we increase. Jesus increased to the highest seat in the heavens, right next to his Father. So as we serve, we will see increase. We will see promotion. We will see dedication. We will see faithfulness. We will see lives changed. But we have to be willing to change our mind to understand that serving is worship, and serving is honoring, and serving is faithful, and serving is a reflection of what God has done for you. So consider when you leave today where it is in your life that you can serve, where it is that you can be a part of this body and be a part of what God is doing in this house, and understand that the majority of people, when they come out, that means less responsibility on your shoulders. Instead of serving every other week, the more people, it's once a month, then once every 2 months, and it becomes easier when everybody steps up and everybody lifts and takes the burden of what the house and what God is calling us to do. So, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you are calling us to be a serving people, that you are calling us to be an honoring people in every area of our life. Help us and give us opportunities to serve in our job, to serve in our families, to serve here at church. Open up the windows of heaven now and pour out your blessing upon us, that we may overflow with abundance and with a light that you have called us to be. And Lord, we thank you that you are working in the midst of us. We thank you for a clean bill of health. We thank you that you are putting a hedge of protection upon us, and that there is going to be a Passover this house, that no plague, no virus will come near. Over every family represented here and online, we know that your hedge of protection is upon us, And we thank you for the heart of your people, that they will serve and honor you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all for being a support. We love you. Remember, wash your hands, please. Sanitize, be courageous, and have wisdom in everything that you do. Love y'all. Pastor Rob will be back next week. It's a little bit more entertaining. Love y'all.